This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Orioles were off yesterday. Hopefully they flushed 24-2 out of their system. They start a three-game series against the Nationals tonight. First pitch, 6:45. Baltimore baseball tonight is at 5:30. It's the Bone, and our next guest joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. And Bordy, thank you as always for your time. So how hard is it to flush 24-2 out of the system?
Man, I hope that was gone quick. And it was rough, man, to chew on it for an off day, too. Hopefully it's just you chalk it up as an embarrassing game. It certainly was. And these guys can move on, you know. I mean, certainly everybody's got to look in the mirror after that one. And you got to do a little soul searching. And you got to dig a little bit deeper, right, because you don't want that kind of embarrassing ball game. These guys are way too good for that. But it's not going to happen if they don't get pitching. So, pitching has to step up. That's the name of the game. We know that. Even though the Oriole offense is just really inconsistent here in the early going, it's always going to come back to the pitching.
Well, Bordy, Charlie Morton, what the heck do you do there? It's been tough watching him and honestly tough hearing him after losses because he just sounds like a defeated guy right now.
Yeah, it really is hard. And I hope, because they do need him, and I don't want him to walk away. I mean, because we don't have anybody else, to be honest with you. So I hope Charlie Morton can dig a little bit deeper. There's a reason why he's still pitching in the big leagues at 41 years old. Now, and it's not because the 15 million reasons why. It's because he's been able to adapt and adjust throughout his incredibly long career. Now, I'm not saying he's got to completely reinvent himself, but try something different, whether it be, you know, Baker changed his arm angle, and he's filthy right now. I would just experiment because right now what he's doing ain't working. The curveball isn't like it used to be. I like how the fastball, I think he could work with that. You just got to locate, man. And all these guys, nobody's commanding the ball right now. There's just way too many walks. So be more aggressive. Put in the zone. How about go back to old school stuff where you have a sinker and you let your defense do the work? And I think he could do that. Keep it down in the zone and let these young guys run around and make the plays for them. So, listen, I'm not giving up on them. I can't give up on them. We can't give up on them because literally there just aren't enough arms in this organization right now. So we got to pull for them to do something somehow to make an adjustment to at least be a little bit more competitive and give this offense somewhat of a chance.
Bordy, scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you that this just isn't a good baseball team? That they're not good. Like, they don't help themselves on the base paths. They don't field the ball well. They don't hit in the clutch. They don't hit well from behind. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. The closer could probably only pitch 3 days a week. It looks like the worst starting rotation in baseball. I don't know, 1 to 10, like, how concerned are you that this isn't even a 500 baseball team?
Oh, boy, man. You know, I'm really concerned, only just because of the pitching. That's it, man. If you don't have pitching, you are done in this league because nobody's going to show any mercy. And I'm telling you, the Orioles, like I said, they're just going to have to hit, man, 6 runs a game. You got to step it up. I know that sounds ridiculous, but, man, oh, man, at least until some reinforcements come back, because that's what I think every team in the East right now is doing, waiting and hoping that they get some arms back and they're able to be a little bit more healthy. Now, that said, you know, Gibson's on the horizon. Just because it's another arm. I'm not saying he is the answer. Listen, when teams are down, somebody's got to step up. Could Dean Kramer be the guy? I don't know. Could Sagano be the guy? They're the two most consistent pitchers we have right now. And, you know, they've got to back it up after what they did. They both looked pretty good their last outings. Back it up now because this could be a long road trip. And they're facing some pretty tough young pitching down in Nats way. That's for sure.
Talking with Mike Bordick, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. I want to get back to Morton because you can answer a question that we really can't, and that is facing one's athletic mortality. And how hard was it for you to realize it was over? How hard is it for a premier athlete to know it's time to go?
Well, I'm still not admitting that it's over. And if it wasn't for my wife, I'd probably still be playing. Anyway, you know, I think it's hard for all athletes because what it comes down to, especially if you have a nice skill set and you've been healthy, and Morton has been, it's incredible how well he's taken care of himself. And honestly, the last 4 years have been pretty darn good for a veteran guy, an old guy, oldest guy in baseball, pitched very well for 4 years. Now, I think the Orioles were thinking, they're just plugging in those numbers and saying, he's going to do the same dang thing. Well, Father Time finally caught up with this guy, I think. And it just isn't the same. The curve isn't snapping. He doesn't have the feel for it right now. It's getting hit. And, you know, really hard. So, you know, the ability to kind of move and groove, right, shake those, make those adjustments, like I said, is really what it's all about. And So I'm going around about on this question. It comes down to mental toughness at the end. That's it. I don't know that. I think physically they've all had enough repetitions. If they're healthy enough to do it, then it becomes what's in between your ears. Do you have enough fight? Do you have that eye of the, you know what it is? It's the eye of the tiger, dude, really. I know that sounds kind of corny, but you better have it at the major league level, because if you show any weakness and the inability to adapt and adjust and not be able to compete, the game just takes you over and it does not let you up. And I'm afraid that's what might happen with Morton right now. If he's not mentally in it and not willing to dig deeper and try to find an answer to this, it's just not going to happen. And so I think the mental part of the game is what just pulls guys away. And yeah, it was mental for me too, because I was overcoming the ability, just the aches and pains you have to get through when you get older as a player. It's hard to convince yourself to keep going out there and playing. And that's what happens with most guys. And I don't know. I just feel like Morton's, there's a reason why he kept playing. And I think he's just got to do some soul searching and try to dig as deep as he can to find that youthful fire, you know, and hopefully some of it rubs off from some of these younger guys.
Bordy, we didn't even plan this. We're going to get into Adley Rutschman during TMI, and Adley is your player spotlight tonight for BBT. And you just look at the raw numbers, 208 batting average, 689 OPS, but some underlying metrics maybe saying that he's gotten some, he's been unlucky. What have you thought of Adley's season thus far?
Well, that's what I think kind of too. And yeah, you know, tonight, Gordy and the Bone, baby, Baltimore baseball
yeah.
tonight. Let's
nice.
Do it, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about some Adley Rutschman a little bit. And I don't know. I don't really dig that deep into the crazy numbers. I do know it looks like his at-bats are a lot better. It looks like he's more patient. He's not swinging and missing. It looks like the Adley Rutschman we saw first half of last year, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, where he just feels comfortable at the plate and confident. He's hitting the ball very well. He is unlucky. There's no doubt about it. I think there are a couple guys that have been very unlucky. And I think the worm will turn for Adley Rutschman. It has to turn for Adley Rutschman. And I'm going to give you a little sneak preview of how.
Do it.
Sell it, Bordy.
Do it, Bordy.
Adley Rutschman cannot get himself going. This team will not be a 500 team, period. That's how important Adley Rutschman is to this franchise. This organization needs him to be the centerpiece. He's not going to be Gunner and be an MVP, but he needs to be the captain and the foundation that was so impactful to this organization when he first came up. And he's got to take that, and he's got to run with it. And now is the time to do it and turn this stuff around. This team is waiting for him. The team dissolved last year when Adley Rutschman dissolved.
Yeah.
That's how important he is. I'm telling you, he is that important. He's got to find a way. He's got to find a way to get it going again. He had a great game, couple hits. Let's keep having great at bat.
Love fired up, Bordy.
Nice, Bordy. You got me.
Love fired up,
Bordy. Really counts on him. They do. They look to him. And I think this whole organization does. And when he goes, I think it'll lift everybody up. So that's the way I feel about Adley.
You got me really fired up, Bordy, but I'm not sure that you got me fired up enough to get off of the Nats for plus money tonight with a soft tossing lefty on the mound and Mitchell Parker.
Can
the O's hit Mitchell Parker in Nats Park or whatever the hell they call it? Masson Field at Nats Park or whatever they call it.
I think it's Nats Park.
Can they hit him?
He's pretty good, isn't he?
What's that?
He's pretty good.
He's having a really good – every time I watch him pitch, I'm like, why is he not getting his brains beat in? But a lot of times he doesn't get his brains beat in.
No. As a matter of fact, he's got a nice little quality start run, which is something we haven't seen since Eflin, I think. Well, no, Sugano did it the other day.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I hope this would be great. A great way to kind of get things going on this road trip. You know, the Nats are kind of a scraping and clawing young team. And the Orioles need to try to find a way to put them in their place. And so you're still younger than us. Let's get to work and beat a lefty for once.
There you go. I think they should make up
What's
a T-shirt.
Up with the
if they win tonight, it should be a T-shirt. We beat Mitchell Parker.
Yeah.
I think it starts with a T-shirt.
It's the last Masson Cup.
Or F Lefties T-shirt. Bordy and the Bone tonight at 5:30. It's Baltimore baseball tonight. Bordy, we'll see you in the building in just a little bit.
He's probably already here.
Yeah, are you already
Bordy,
here?
Bordy, you're already prepared. Are you in a closet here somewhere? Are you here? You were here before me today, weren't you?
No. I'll be there in a little bit. Okay. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, I love having Bordy in this building.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
He's always here.
He's here more than the sales staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Some programming people.
He was here like 3 days in a row last week.
Bordy's here like Bordy's ever present here, man.
Ubiquitous.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just expect to see him sitting in the kitchen when I walk in there now. What you got cooking today, Bordy?
Coming up next is T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
I got to match Bordy's energy, his fire.
Impossible.
When talking about
no,
Adley
no when to
Rutschman,
stand down, bro.
Where you look at the numbers, guys. He's right around the Mendoza line. Has he been unlucky? What splits are much different from last year through the first part of this year? We'll get into those next on the.
You don't just live in your home; you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Fan. T-Bone Time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Adley Rutschman. He was always going to be under a microscope after that dreadful second half to last season, and he got off to a strong start. First 13 games, he reached base, and he's reached base
in every single game he's played in besides two. The issue is the lack of regularity, where he had three hits in the first game, didn't have a multi-hit game until Sunday when he hit a home run to cut the lead to 18 runs.
Yeah, cut it 24-2, Bone.
So Adley,
clutch.
He had two
games. Adley Clutchman.
Yes, he had two hits there, and he's three for his last 29 at the plate. And you just look at the numbers, 208 batting average, 299 on base, 390 slug, 689 OPS. And we'll get into the underlying metrics in a few, but some splits that differ year over year in this very limited sample size. He's hitting better as a lefty this year compared to last year. 790 OPS as a lefty compared to 432 as a righty. And you look at last year where he was a much better hitter right-handed. 902 OPS compared to as a lefty, 631.
But the year before was the other way.
Yes. So now it's flip-flop.
Musical chairs.
Snip, snap, as Michael Scott once said. Not hitting well with runners in scoring position like the rest of this club. 100 batting average with runners in scoring position. This year, he is hitting much better when catching. 789 OPS in 15 games catching compared to 385 OPS when DHing.
Now, DHing
it's only,
tonight.
It's only been five games. It's been a very, very small sample size. So we'll see if that continues to bear out. But Adley, the numbers aren't great, but the metrics are saying that he's been very unlucky. Where you look at the slugging percentage, 390. Expected slugging percentage is 535. Yeah. That is a massive difference. He's in the 86th percentile there. His old baseball savant page is a lot of red.
Yes.
Where you want to be. But the results haven't been there. 76th percentile in batting average, 78th percentile in barrel percentage, 99th percentile in squared up percentage. He's not chasing. 91st percentile there, 92nd percentile in whiff percentage. His pop time has been up this year a lot, 92nd percentile, but
he's in better shape.
He's not exactly throwing
accurately to the wrong side of the bag.
Because the caught stealing above average is the bottom third percentile.
Yeah, that's never going to change, by the way. He's never going to control the run game. He's in his prime right now. This is as good as it's going to get with that.
Where he's really struggling, guys, is breaking balls. He's hitting a dreadful 0.45 against breaking balls this year. But the barrel percentage is up, the exit velocity is up, the hard hit percentages are up, but the production is still down, much like we saw last year. So I'm with Bordy in the fact that this doesn't look like it did last year where he was floundering. But that being said, we did expect much more production than this thus far.
There's a few things for me here. You can scout off the eye test. You can scout off the old school stats. You can scout off Baseball Savant. And you can kind of put it all together and make your own determinations. The caliber and quality of at-bat, the degree of want and desire and fight, the seemingly having a plan, he's night and day now to what he was then. My concern is, last year, I said it before, I'll say it again, a lot of this got into his head. And then the bad habits seeped in, and between him and the skipper and the 5,000 hitting coaches and all the wizards and warlocks, nobody could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. My fear is, if the process is not getting better results, that he does decide tonight's the night I hit two home runs and I start dropping my back shoulder and I start teetering. I start losing my balance. And when I drop my back shoulder, now one of my knees comes down. And the next thing you know, I'm swinging like, you know, Greg Luzinski. That's my concern is, and you know what my other concern is? He's got no protection in the lineup. He doesn't have Santander behind him, a switch hitter who, no matter who's pitching, he might take you deep, right? Westy hasn't been healthy, and Westy's off to a slow start. They're platooning first baseman. I mean, Mounty's got bad luck. I mean, I think Mounty knows his future's not here. There's a lot of stuff that's not working in their favor as a hitting just group right now, and I fear a couple more weeks of Adley not getting the payoff he wants for what he's putting into these at-bats, that things start things start, here's a little slip, there's a little slip, here's a bigger slip, and he's got to wear it for everybody else because he's the oldest of the regular guys who matter.
Well, Brandon Hyde alluded to that, I believe, Friday night when he was saying that, yeah, there were a lot of young guys that got into funks and then weren't able to get out of it, and I'm sure he was in somewhat referencing Adley Rutschman there, where you kind of just stick the course and eventually the baseball gods...
He's not young for me anymore. He's a 1-1 college kid who was supposed to be defensively ready for the majors when you got him. So, like, I don't want to hear he's in his age 27 season. This is it.
I'll say this. I've been pleased with the quality of the at-bat, and he has run into bad luck, but I'd be lying if I said I don't have some of the concerns Jason has that if the thing keeps going the wrong way, that he starts to press. Oh, and... I'm with Jason on the defense. Like, it is what it is at this point. We're watching random catchers be able to throw the first base side of the bag and control running games against the Orioles, but Adley Rutschman can't control the running game on a day-to-day basis.
No.
They will be lucky if he's Matt Wieters.
Yeah.
If he has Matt Wieters' career, at this point, I'd say they'd be lucky. Like, I think that's the best case scenario.
I think he can be Matt Wieters.
Yeah.
I think it can be Matt Wieters. I don't know about defensively, but
I'm talking about the whole kit and caboodle. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's going to be Matt Wieters because Matt Wieters in a lot of respects defensively.
Yes.
So, like, in its totality, I don't think he's Matt Wieters. He sure as hell ain't JT Realmuto and the stuff we were being sold.
No. Hey, coming up next, if you didn't get enough bone, well, wait, there's more. It's bounce back, fallback. Does Jason's streak beating my ass continue? You'll find out next here on The Fan.
Jason has won 5 in a row, 1 tie. So 6 straight games without a Ken Wyman W.
Mm-hmm.
Did that change over the weekend? Heston Kjerstad has a hit in each of his last 4 starts. He picks up 4 hits in the series. He did not get the bone bump here after getting hit in the elbow.
That was 1 hit.
He had 2. Well, if we counted that. He had 2 hits Friday, then got hit in the elbow on Saturday. Jason Fallback only plays in 2 games, which you were right. 3 hits.
I love it. I love.
Well, I mean, I love
the reactions when I get stuff right. It's amazing.
He took 100.
The dichotomy between me and Gigi. It's amazing.
Ken bounce back.
Yeah.
Gunner had a double and a home run last night. He had 3 extra base. He has 3 extra base hits. In the series against the Reds, he did not. Had a home run and a double on Saturday. Ken, you bounce back. Jason, you fell back. Set a home run and a double. It's pretty good.
I did.
Didn't say in the same game, but he did. That was pretty good. Yeah. Brandon Young completed.
Thanks, Jimmy Butler.
It's 2-0 if you're scoring at home.
Brandon Young.
No, I got that one right, didn't I?
No, you bounced back.
It's 2-0 if you're scoring at home. You would have no idea if you just listened to the way the bone talked about his incorrect answers and my correct answers. You'd have no idea.
Brandon Young completes 5 innings. He did not. 4 innings. Jason, you fell back, said 4 1/3. Ken, you fell back as well.
Yeah.
Orioles win on Sunday with Charlie Morton starting. Ugh. Yeah. They kept it within 22.
Yes.
They lost 24-2. Can you bounce back?
I thought bullpen would pick him up.
If you had Reds minus 21, you still covered.
You said, Morton, not good, but the O's win. Jason, you fell back.
I didn't kick Morton. I didn't kick Air Chuck Morton.
No, I didn't.
I let him off easy. I figured reality was going to kick him harder than I could.
Well, you were so focused on NBA because you wanted Ken to lead off.
Oh, that's
the
right. That's right. That's right.
Ken led off. Hawks cover the 1.5. They did not. Heat one outright, 123-114. Ken, you fell back. Jason, you fell back. You said the Heat win by 8 or more, which they
won by 9.
They did. Grizzlies cover the 6.5 against the Mavs. They did, 120-106. Both of you guys fell back. Jason, you said Mavs 112-106. Mavs did score. Well, no.
I had it the other way.
The other way, yeah. Nuggets covered the 2.5 against the Clippers. They did not. Clippers won 112-110 in OT. Ken, you fell back.
Clippers
Jason,
lost that game in OT.
Yes.
Yeah, Nuggets won in OT.
Excuse me. Yeah, they covered. Clippers covered. Clippers win and win the series is what you said, Jason. Lakers cover the 4.5 against the Timberwolves. Timberwolves,
but I still got that right.
You
because
did.
The Nuggets did not cover.
You did. Lakers cover the 4.5 against the Timberwolves. Can you bounce back, Jason? You fell back. Lakers win by 3.
They
Timberwolves
lost.
Won
going
by
away.
A lot. Yeah. Yes. Jason, you got 7 of the 8.
Might never lose again,
never
Ben.
Never lose again.
Ben, you'd have no idea if you were a casual listener to this show.
Ken
you'd
got,
have no idea who won that week, let alone who was on a Herculean tear right now.
Ken, you got 3.
Yes.
So it was a blowout.
Bloodbath.
Jason.
Nnamdi Matabike, bloodbath.
Jason has won 6. There was one tie.
I was Brody. He was a parked car.
Yes. Wow, a door.
Jason,
wow.
2 tonight.
It's true.
Your guy, yeah. Mean Dean Kramer.
Oh, yeah, it's not May yet, though, Bone. He it likes is, it when it's May.
It is not May,
it's
but
Abril.
He has great numbers against the Nats in his
yeah,
career.
What are his numbers against James Wood?
And it's warm.
Dean Kramer delivers a quality start tonight, Jason. The furthest he has gone is 5 1/3. He has done so twice. Jason.
They had a day off.
They did.
You really want to win, right? Yeah. When you lose 24-2 to the Cincinnati Reds with Austin Hayes in the cleanup spot, and Austin wins with a 6-hit. What is that? That's not even a platinum sombrero. It's a platinum sombrero, or what's the opposite
sombrero,
of that?
Yeah, sombrero.
It's a platinum. What's the opposite of a sombrero? I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's like
silver
it's like
slugger.
It's a platinum Pope hat yeah. plus
wow.
one.
Nats are 23rd.
It's a
in OPS.
Platinum halo plus one. So I don't think he can mess around. If Mean Dean doesn't really have it, I think it's all hands on deck to try to beat Mitchell. They got to beat a lefty eventually this year, don't they? Oh. So I don't think he's going
to
let Mean Dean like play around.
Yeah.
So I don't think he gets the 6 innings pitched.
Okay. Does not get to 6.
The Washington Nationals are hitting .229 as a team. I'm gonna back.
I think Sharkey could strike out Dylan Cruz right now.
I'm gonna back Mean Dean. I'm a back.
Mean Dean. Let's go to Tomo Sugano.
Huh.
He did more than deliver a quality
ace.
Start last time out.
He's an ace,
finishing 7. Back to back quality
Stopper.
Starts. Ken, he I'm gets a quality start tomorrow night.
This one's for Beltway Ben because he hates me. I'm all in on Tomo Sugano. I'm gonna bounce
but
back.
But he likes Tomo Sugano.
Yeah, that's why. That's
yeah,
why
right.
I went with him.
All right. Jason.
He's trying to curry favor with Ben. He's trying to get back in Ben's good graces.
Ben hates me.
Ben's pissed.
You know what? I think this guy will be able to work this lineup.
Oh.
Now, I will say this. The guy you have to avoid in this game is Wood. Wood's going to take him deep.
Wood takes him deep. That's
I think Wood has multiple extra base hits off
Wood,
this guy.
Oh, geez, multiple.
But one man does not a lineup make.
Extra base
By the
hits.
Way, Wood's great, but he's hitting .230.
When Wood makes contact, it goes.
Lay the wood.
So Wood
yeah.
I'll be on a Wood home run prop tomorrow. So what else do you need out of me, Bones?
Just quality start. That's all you want to give.
He
Don't
goes.
Force
he goes.
It. Don't force
no,
it.
I got. He get. He goes 6 1/3.
Oh, 6 1/3.
We're almost there.
3 earned.
Oh, there it is.
That's it. That's all we need.
I know what a quality start is. You don't want me to
no, keep going. I just. That's a bounce back
one
for those
walk,
playing at home.
One strikeout. Nah, one two walk. Strikeouts. They are a bunch of bums over there.
Yeah. Bunch of bums. He gets one more strikeout.
Wait, dude, have you watched him pitch?
I'm just saying.
Ryan Mountcastle has just one homer this season. That was April 13th against the Blue Jays. He homers this series against the Nats, Jason.
I don't even know how much he's going to play in this series against the Nats. No, but...
For the record, he is starting tonight.
I'll give him a double.
A lefty.
Yeah.
Ken, double, you said? Yeah, make sure that gets a double.
I Kenny Sunshine gets me in trouble during this game because the Orioles aren't doing a lot, but I'm going to say bounce back. He's going to hit over him.
I'll keep the sunshine rolling here. Yeah. It's the last, well, not second to last, Mass and Cup series. O's take 2 of 3 against the Nats, Ken.
Winner gets a free month of Masson Plus.
Yeah.
He gets the 1999 waived. 2 of 3. Bounce back.
Bounce back.
Why do you say the Masson Cup's going away?
They're not going to be a part of Masson anymore.
Yeah, the Nats could leave. I think he's implying the Nats could leave Masson.
The Nats aren't going to leave. It's not the Masson Cup anymore. It's the Monument.
What are we going to call it then?
Just the Nats versus the Oaks.
Call it the Battle of the Beltway. I think it's Battle of the Beltway.
But you really don't think we're still going to call it, whatever they call their stupid network, or if they just go to Leontes,
it's not the
you don't think we're still going to call it the Masson Cup? I'm still going to call it the Masson Cup.
But according to Tim's hypothetical, not to speak for the bone, but the Orioles will still be on Masson while the Nats will be doing something else.
Yes.
You're not fighting over Masson anymore. The O's won that war.
I see. What
I don't know about that, well, but I don't know that I would concede that
they didn't win any wars. But
I think they lost a lot of battles. Yeah. I think they got steadily bled out over a decade.
And they would just no longer be on the same umbrella anymore.
Yes. Bone, I'm not picking them. I can't pick them to win a series. They got to show me something.
Well, they've won one.
They've won.
They have. All right, NBA. Do you want Ken to go first again?
I mean, I don't need any help. He couldn't beat me. You could spot him the answers ahead of time. He's not beating me.
All right. Pacers cover the 3.5 against the Bucks, Jason.
I like Pacers money line. They're not a great cover team, Bone. I'm going to say Pacers by 2.
Pacers by 2. Ken.
Damian Lillard is playing in this game.
Yeah.
How much defense do you think he's going to play?
Nah, he doesn't play a lot of defense, but he can score if he's right. I'll say Pacers cover.
Pacers cover. So that is a bounce back. The Thunder.
The Thunder rolls.
They won by 51.
The Lightning strikes.
In game one. They're 14.5 point favorites tonight against the Grizzlies. Ken, they cover that big number.
Bounce it back.
Bounce it back, Jason.
Bone, I think they're hanging 130 again on these guys.
Hanging 130 again.
I like the team total more than anything else in this game. Team total over. I got it at 122.5.
Total over
for the Thunder. But I'll still say they win this game by 20 points.
Win by 20. Lakers cover the 5.5 against the Timberwolves, Jason.
I don't know that this is a great matchup for the Lakers. It's only one game. I don't want to overreact. I think Luka will play better. But Bone, I don't know if they cover that. I don't like them to cover that number. I'll say the Lakers win by 3.
Lakers win by 3. Ken.
Ah, man.
Minnesota might win this game.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking. I think Minnesota's a bad matchup for the Lakers. I'm going to – what's the
– 5.5.
Lakers cover 5.5, fallback.
And lastly, game for tomorrow. Rockets cover the 2.5 against the Warriors tomorrow night, Ken.
They will bounce back, and they will bounce back, Bon.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. You said the Warriors win that game. Playoff Hemi.
Fallback, Warriors win outright.
Coming up next, we will go back to one winning drive. Roquan Smith met with the media yesterday during media availability offseason workouts. What did Roquan have to say? You'll hear it next here on The Fan.
It's just like being around the guys, guys who you truly care about, being back around the game that you truly love, and obviously knowing that, you know, things didn't go the way you want them to go the last outing. So it's about improving on that. And then, you know, also coming in and getting great work from Scott and his staff. You know, normally follow their plan anyway throughout the offseason, but it's pretty cool when you be able to get to work with the guys also out on the field. So it's just something that I enjoy.
Ravens media availability yesterday as their offseason workout program has begun, and Roquan Smith says it's good to be around the guys once again. We'll hear his assessment of his season in just a minute.
I hope springs eternal. He definitely needs a more consistent season, a more impactful season. We documented it in real time as it was going on. We documented it after the season. We documented it a couple weeks ago as we started to ponder, could these guys take a linebacker in the first round? And I don't think it's entirely out of the question, and certainly not out of the question in the second round if things fall a certain way. So would that guy be the new and improved Robin to his Batman? Possibly, but that could also be a dude who takes that Batman cape away from him in a year.
This is a huge year for Roquan Smith. There's no more fully guaranteed money after this season. And when you're paid at the highest at your position, you have to be what Eric DaCosta once called him, a force multiplier. You have to make the person that's playing alongside of you better. You have to make this defense better. And he was one of those big issues the first 9 weeks of the season when this defense was really in the tank.
No excuses this year. They changed the coaching staff around. Trenton Simpson played last year, so even if he's the guy, it's not like it's his first time doing it. Dudes got fired. Like, things got recalibrated. It's year two for the coordinator, not year one. And he's got Pagano with him every single day from the giddy up. So it's go time.
Roquan Smith, how would you assess your season last year?
Yeah, a lot of ups and downs last season. First and foremost, from the defense perspective, didn't start the season the way we wanted to start, including myself, like with certain games and things of that nature. So, like, just having that motivation and knowing that you don't want the season, something you're able to control, to start out this way. And that's something that we all can control and build on right now in this moment. So it's about, like, doing that, making sure we're in the best possible shape, but also making sure that we're mentally there and ready to go through the ringer or whatever the case may be, and just having a tighter bond, even though it was really tight despite the adversity that we faced throughout the season last year. Not a single person, you know, dropped their head, looked for a way out. So just, like, building on that and just hitting the ground running. And for myself, just, like, you know, improving, just being better. Like, yeah, all pros, this, that, all that stuff is fine, but it's about, like, you know, getting hardware, and, like, that's something you accomplish as a team. So that's more of, like, what I want, like, because all the individual accolades, that stuff will come once you're successful as a team.
So he sort of acknowledged the fact that he wasn't the player that he's supposed to be.
No, I like that answer. I think there was certainly a degree of, you know, taking accountability and responsibility and acknowledging that, at least as he put it, certain games, certain periods of the time in that season, he and the defense collectively weren't what they should have been. I think, you know, again, I think teams clearly came into some of these games thinking they could exploit the middle of the field within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, between the hash marks, whenever they wanted. And, you know, it could be running backs, it could be tight ends, it could be receivers, not just little jitterbug guys, but all different types of body types could feast in areas of the defense that he is, you know, one of the primary people responsible for patrolling. And I don't think he was as impactful physically in terms of the tone setting, in terms of those momentum changing hits. He didn't show up around the football as much. He didn't show up at or behind the line of scrimmage as much. And I'm not talking sacks, because that's not really his game.
Tackles for loss, though.
And I think he, as much as, if not more than anybody else, needs Kyle Hamilton in the box quite a bit. Like, pretty much most of the time.
Absolutely. The middle of the field was open for business last year, and things really could have went sideways and continued to go sideways, where you had Marlon Humphrey coming out after that Bengals game calling the defense the little brother, but they got back in the lab. There were a couple Ravens that abstained like a Raven, but for the most part, they stuck together. Zach Orr and company, they were able to right the ship, because they were one of the better, if not best, defenses from that point on.
One more from Roquan. How about your linebacker friend, Trenton Simpson?
Yeah, first and foremost, for those guys that are that's left, you know, very happy for those guys. They got them some a nice little payday as well. So, like, you know, happy to see those guys do that. CB, very happy for him. Malik, and all of those guys. But, yeah, Trent, man, I got a great deal of respect for him. Got some good sessions in with him this offseason as well, and just trying to build on our bond with each other as well, knowing what he's thinking in certain situations, and also, like, just knowing what I'm thinking as well, and just getting out and doing more things to create a tighter bond. But I think, like, the guy has all the athletic ability in the world, everything you would want, and, like, I got great faith that he's going to be able to put it all together. And with the addition of our coach, I'm very excited about that as well, Trent is. So it's going to be awesome, and we're excited to get to work, and, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, but we know we're going to prepare like every day is our last day. So that's the mindset, and I'm very excited for him and his future, though.
Proof is in the pudding, but it sounds like he's trying to do his part to take Trenton Simpson to another level.
Well, I think he knows that's part of, if that's who he's saddled with, maybe that's wrong connotation, but if that's who he's in the saddle with,
yeah.
And that's how he's going to be evaluated, and they don't quote-unquote upgrade there, then it's going to be incumbent on him as the highest paid at his position to have that other guy perform. That's what a force multiplier is. If that's what he's being paid to be, then it isn't just about him. It's about his whole position group.
Coming up next, we get back to the Orioles. By the way, Cynthia Freeland's going to join us at 4:30. We'll talk NFL draft with her. Then Mark Zuckerman will preview the Orioles-Nats series from the Nats perspective at 5. But coming up next, the Orioles are coming off a 24-2 loss. They are under 500. This season is not going the way they expected it to go. If this continues this way, how much longer can the Orioles wait before they do something significant? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.